The question today is, what is our God like? And this is the 15th part of this question, or the answer to this question. And we're looking at the names of God, knowing it shows, it reveals His character. It reveals His person, how He operates, and how He works. We started dealing last time with Jehovah Tidiskenu in Jeremiah 23:6, where it said the Lord our righteousness, and that's what that name, Hebrew names, mean. And as we said, it's a name which occurs in prophecy concerning the future restoration and conversion of Israel, and that's still future, by the way. Then Israel will hail Him as Tidiskenu, Jehovah Tidiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now in this text in Jeremiah, we find God promised that He would make for Himself a just and holy people through the coming work of the Messiah. The word righteousness communicates two important ideas here, and both are present in this text. First of all, it represents or communicates justification or salvation from sin through the grace of God. Secondly, it communicates righteousness and holiness that are reflected in the life of the person who has been the recipient of such saving grace. In other words, through the grace of God and the redeeming work of the Messiah, God's people will become just and holy. And as I said yesterday, I'll say again, it's, even though it's talking about the restoration of Israel, the true Israel is the saints of God. And God, the Jehovah Tidiskenu, is doing that today by day, imputing righteousness on our accounts one by one. Another compound name is Jehovah Shammah, and that's found in Ezekiel 48:35, where he says here in Ezekiel 48:35 is as really Ezekiel's measuring the temple and talking about the last days and whatnot. But he said it was around about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there, or the Lord is personally present. Now, this name signifies Jehovah's abiding presence with His people. Did not a cloud follow the children of Israel by day, and a pillar of fire by night? That represented the presence of the Lord. Jehovah Shammah, if you please. Now, in this text, in Ezekiel 48:35, we find that Ezekiel is giving some measurements. The Lord gave him some measurements of the city and its gates, and he called it Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, or present. God promised His presence to His people, whom He'll restore in the last days. The presence of God has always been an extremely important part of the relationship between God and His people. Adam walked with God in the garden before the fall. And we know that, of course, in Genesis 3:8, he hid himself because the Lord was there, you see. But His presence was in the garden, and he was afraid of the Lord when he realized that he'd see Him. In Exodus 33:12 through 16, we find this with Moses. He said, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast known not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider this nation, that this nation is thy people." And He said, "My presence shall go with thee." And that is talking about Jehovah Shammah. "And I will give thee rest." And Moses, of course, said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight?" In other words, there's a question, then there's an answer. "Is it not in that thou goest with us? And shall we be separated, I and my people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" In other words, we know that we found grace in your sight when Jehovah Shammah goes with us, when your presence is there, is what he says. So Moses asked that the presence of God might accompany Israel in its pilgrimage through the desert. He did, and that was Jehovah Shammah that did that. Now in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 10 and 11, God showed His approval of Israel here in building the new temple and that had been constructed, and He showed His presence by filling it, with His presence there, His approval by showing up. The Bible said it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. In other words, he showed his approval by filling it with his presence. That also happened at the tabernacle. Now, when did that happen? When it was finished. When the tabernacle was finished, when the temple was finished, he manifested himself. Now, in the New Testament, the promise of God's presence was fulfilled in a most perfect form in the incarnation of the Lord. In other words, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, when that was God robed in flesh through a virgin's womb. And folks, I want to tell you, when he finishes his temple, the holy place in you where he wants to dwell, then he'll take up his abode. He'll move inside Jehovah Shammah. And in him, God became flesh and dwelt among men, though, in John 1, where he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in the church age, God not only dwells with his people, but he also dwells in them through the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in John 14:16-17, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost took up his abode on the inside. He said, I'll be with you, Jehovah Shammah. And he promised in what we call the Great Commission, he promised to be present with his people. Matthew 28:19-20, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So he promised that to be with us. And when will that happen? When will that happen as far as we're concerned? When he finishes the work in us that we call Holy Ghost reproval, godly sorrow, Holy Ghost conviction. And when he finishes the temple, he'll take up his abode. Now, in the resurrection, restoration of all things, God will dwell with his people in the new heaven and the new earth. In Revelation 21:1-3, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah Shammah, who will be there. So we've looked at a lot of names, and of course they can be summarized in a few. Elohim, God having the strong one, who's able to redeem. Jehovah, the one who is wants to reveal himself to mankind. The El Shaddai, who is the one who wants to pour his life, himself in the life of a believer, even the lost person. And of course the good one, many good ones, but the Jehovah Ra, that wants to gather, guide, guard, and gives, and guarantee delivery. And my, what a Lord that is. What a God that is. But there's other name titles that reflect the glory and the majesty of God. He's called the Blessed God in 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the Blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He's called the God of glory in Psalm 29:3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many wonders. Many waters. He's called the God of gods in Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods. And that last one is little g. And Lord of lords. And that last is a little l. He's a great God, a mighty and a terrible God. That means one who causes fear and respect, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. You can't bribe this judge. He's a great God, if you please. He's the God of gods. He's the God, he's referred to as the God of heaven and of earth. Ezra 5:11 said, and thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. He's called the invisible God in Colossians 1:15, speaking about the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's called the King of glory in Psalm 24:7-10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Think about that. He's called the majestic glory in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. When we see where it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." That's majestic glory. And that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Said, "For we have received from God the Father honor and glory when we shall..." Where there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so therefore, we see names that reflect the glory and the majesty of God. And there's also names that reflect the eternality of God. He's called the Alpha and Omega. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." In other words, that means the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one as well. He's called the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9 and 10. Daniel said, "I beheld the thrones till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hairs of his head were like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment seat was set, and the books were open." In other words, Daniel said, "I saw him out yonder, somewhere in the future, the Ancient of Days, sitting on the throne." The Ancient of Days. And in other words, that's 2,100 years plus future. Well, even more than that, 2,600 years. And even we could say 3,600 years. I don't know exactly where it's at, but it's out there at the end of the millennium reign. He saw the Ancient of Days set. His names reflect the eternality of God. He's called the beginning and the end, Revelations 21:6. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the waters of life freely." He's called the eternal God. The eternal, and Deuteronomy 33:27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before him, and shall say, Destroy them." And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, he's called the everlasting God. "How hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Hast the everlasting, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." And then he's called the first and the last in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, and also in Revelations he's called that. But he said, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides thee there is no God." And he revealed himself as the I Am to Moses. I am that I am. The names that reflect the eternality of God shows his person and character, how he operates and how he works. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.